It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public. Might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind. You better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack. You better hurry right back, though. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. Hello and welcome to the Purple Pants Podcast, episode 110, Unfoolish. I am your host, Bryce Isaiah, and I am so glad you guys clicked play on this episode. How's everybody been doing? What's going on? What's going on? Oh, tell me what's going on. Well, listen, I'm going to tell you what's going on. If you have not already, please make sure you click subscribe on the Purple Pants Podcast. We're available on Apple Podcast, Spotify Podcast, wherever it is you get your podcasts from. Click that subscribe button. Write your baby boy a review. Okay, give me some 5 stars. I truly appreciate it. Yes, you know your baby boy had a busy weekend. Okay, listen, I recorded It's a Look with the baby boy Robert. So if you have not checked that out, okay, or if you haven't watched it on the YouTube, make sure you guys watch that video. It was so much fun. I'm really excited for this week. Okay, Survivor Season 41. You know I'm packing my bags. I'm getting my outfit ready because you know we're heading over to New York. Bryson Wynn presents The Return 41, the watch party, and we're going to be joined with some amazing survivors, some big brothers. Ooh, you heard me say it. Okay, and some amazing race people. So you definitely want to be there. I'm excited to see all of you. And yeah, you know, so this weekend I've been running around getting that together with Wendell, trying to get all of our, like, you know, the stuff we need to get together and chill. Whew. Wendell been working my nerves. Tell me do this, tell me do that. Okay, I do it. It's not right. I got to do it again and again and again. But ultimately, it's because we want the best for our event. And then I was really, really happy. I had like a happy Bryce moment this weekend. So I don't know if any of you guys are like me, but I have like so many different friend groups. I'm just, you know, I'm a friendly person. I love everyone. So I have like so many different friend groups. And I've got like a core friend group, but not all the time do my friends get to intermingle. And I don't, you know, sometimes they don't really get along. Sometimes, like, I don't know. But my one friend had a birthday party, you know, get together at her house, and she invited one of my other friends, and they happened to be like one of my two best friends. And so they showed up to the party, and it was like such a great time to just like, you know, kick it with my friends, like, you know, intertwining your friend groups. Although I've been like friends with my friends for like over 10 years. But it, you know, it was just really good. It was the first time that we all really got to like hang out. Their significant others, their fiancés, their husbands. We really just kind of sort of like kicked it. And it felt like baby boy was in high school. It felt like, you know, it was a weekend, you know, a Friday. We just got out of school and we was just like kickback, having a good old kickback. So I really had fun this weekend. Also, I wanted to tell y'all, I was jamming to some music this weekend, okay? You know the baby boy, Jason Curtis, who does all of my intros. You know the church announcements. You a freak. Who's the freak of the week, okay? Give me a B-A-R-B, Barb's message. Okay, he released his first EP called Space Loops. And let me just tell you, I was a little surprised at how much I was jamming to Jason Curtis' Space Loops, okay? He got some cute songs on there. The cover title song, Space Loops, is a jam. Okay, hold on, let me give y'all a little preview. In my room, about you. Okay, I didn't have Space Loops on repeat. Okay, another one of my jams is Not a Breakup Song. Okay, Going and Notice. So listen, if you guys get time, check out Jason Curtis. Show the baby boy some love. He always shows me love. And so, you know, I got to show the love. Okay, I downloaded it. I bought it. Wanted to support. So yes, I'm really just hyped up. I'm worried about my outfit. You know, I didn't order like 4 or 5 things from different places for this watch party because, you know, I want to look cute. I've been trying to like work out, make sure, you know, baby boy is right. But you ever order something from online and it don't fit right? So then I had to return it, and then I ordered something else again, and, you know,
being as that I'm pressed for time. Like, you know, I done paid for 2 days shipping. And I'm like looking at my emails and I'm like, it's 5 days later. It should be here. So listen, y'all know my stepdad. Okay. He likes to call the customer service. So I took a page out of John book. I said, hello. Hi. I placed the order and I just wanted to, you know, I didn't get a tracking number on it. I just want to, you know, they're like, oh, what's the order number? I'm like, ABCD. They're like, oh, okay. I'm like, I paid for the 2-day shipping. You know, it was an extra $25. And they're like, oh, the 2-day shipping's only available for packages that are coming in the U.S. Yours is being shipped from the U.K. Well, why y'all got the 2-day shipping on it if it's not going to be here in 2 days? Okay. Spicy Brycey had to come out. And I was one of them today. Is there a manager I can speak with? Okay. Spoke to the manager. I'm like, you know, I've got a watch party in a couple of days, and I really only ordered this because it had the 2-day shipping available. If it didn't have the 2-day shipping available, I wouldn't ordered it. So listen, they didn't refunded your baby boy. Okay, listen, because it's not a pay week. So I still ain't get it yet, but when it come, it'll be for free. Hopefully, fingers crossed, it will fit. But listen, I am really excited for this week's episode. So let me give you guys the rundown. We've got the church announcements. And this week we have Jatia Beck and Bay Bay. We are covering arguably could be the best 2 episodes of Real Housewives of Potomac, okay? And I got the freak of the week. So listen, okay? Don't be unfoolish. Let's get into these church announcements. On this week's church announcement, I came across this passage that really resonated with me, and it's called Boundary Setting Sentences. And I read it through and I was like, oh my God, there are so many times in my life that I feel like I could use this, whether it's in my personal relationships, whether it's with my families, especially at work. And so I really wanted to, you know, something was weighing on my heart to, you know what, share this with the posse, because if you guys are like me, sometimes we've got a hard time setting boundaries. Sometimes we have a hard time saying no. Sometimes we say yes when we really want to say no. For instance, I have a part-time job and, you know, I was like furloughed due to COVID. They recently started calling me back and they are like wanting me to work the schedule that doesn't necessarily work with my life right now. Like, you know, I didn't been all for a year and a half. I've had to adjust. And so every time they call me and ask me to work, I have a hard time saying no. And I end up saying yes. And I end up, you know, messing up my schedule for other things, or just, you know, having to get up extremely early to do things that normally I would just, you know, take my time. So I really wanted to share this boundary setting sentences with the posse. The first one says, I can't do that, but I can help you find somebody who can. I appreciate the gesture, but in the future, I'd prefer. I can't take on additional responsibilities right now. Ooh. I'm not comfortable discussing this topic with you. I'm uncomfortable with what you just said or did. Ooh, now that's a big one. Thanks for your concern, but I can handle this. I can't attend, but I appreciate the invite. Ooh, ho-ho, that one. Okay. How many times somebody invited you somewhere and you just feel like, listen, I can't attend, but I appreciate the invite. Listen, I don't give you permission to do blank to me. I can't blank, but I'm open to trying. I don't feel safe, so I'm going to leave. I won't be spoken to in that manner. I'm allowed to change my mind. Thanks, but I'm not interested. I wish I could, but I can't. No, thank you. And the last one, no. Whew. How hard, like, you know, and reading this really gave me, like, it empowered me to be like, you know what? There's a lot of things in my life that, like, no, I can't do. No, I can't take any more responsibilities right now. Or you know what? I didn't like the way what you just did or what you just said made me feel. Ooh, I had a situation this weekend that I could have used that. And so I just really wanted to share that with the posse because it really resonated with me. And I hope that these boundary setting sentences can resonate with you guys. And I implore you to use it in your life. Set clear boundaries. Say no. Your time is your time.
It's a man who, it's a man you. Me and potatoes like we cooking up a great stew. It's a man who, it's a man you. Me and potatoes like we cooking up a great stew.
And we are back this week. You already know it's Real Housewives of Potomac. And you know I can't have arguing opinions without my girl Jatia Hart Taylor, a.k.a. the House Hunter Queen. Welcome back to the podcast.
Hello. I am so happy to be here. I am super excited to talk about the Real Housewives of Dorothy.
Oh, listen, listen.
Look, Dorothy made this episode. Okay. I was so happy to see her. She, they need to get her a spot. Okay.
Miss Dot, to be correct.
Dottie, Dorothy, D-Nasty. I mean, what you want to
say? Listen, okay, Little Dot. Okay, Little Dottie. Before we get into all of
Dottie too hottie, sorry.
Not my Dot. Okay. Before we get into all of the goodness of Dottie, we've got two episodes to cover. So I think it's important to start with last week's episode. It really picked up at the dinner where Candace was body shaming Ashley. Why body?
I was like, come on, girl. And you knew she thought she was so wrong because she immediately tried to backtrack.
I was like, I'm not body shaming you. I always say your forehead is big. I was like, come on, Candace.
Now, even Candace, if you were not body shaming, it was in poor taste. Like, even for the Real Housewives, that was in poor taste.
Yeah, no, I was not with Candace on that side. Then Mia invited the ladies, I don't know, to a goddess retreat or something.
With my favorite outfits of the last two episodes was the goddess retreat.
Okay, I thought that the ladies were bringing it. Before we got to the goddess retreat, we got to Wendy. I thought this was a really important or great segment. Wendy has two young black children. And during the time that but two young black boys. And this was during the time of the Derek Chauvin trial, and the verdict had just been announced. And Wendy and her husband were just saying, like, you know, they are aware that their two young black sons watching the news and they have questions. And so they really kind of sort of sat down and talked to their sons about what was happening. And I thought it was just important because I think that, you know, it just made me reflect on just my childhood. And I remember when I was, you know, I got my license. And I just remember my mom having a conversation with me about, like, you know, the police, if you ever get pulled over. And it's just interesting because I think, like, Wendy's husband had said, like, you know, or Wendy even said, like, you know, I don't like taking the innocence from my children. And I think that that's important because I don't think all of the listeners that have children out there, some parents don't have to have this conversation with them. But it is very important when you are raising black children, especially black boys, black men, I don't know, just made me really reflect about, like, wow, so, like, how different
the approach is. Yeah. So I have two young kids, a 5 and a 3-year-old, one boy, one girl, and I am already starting to have these conversations. And yeah, it is sad that you have to have these conversations with your children. But I have to tell, you know, my son and my daughter, especially my daughter, because she's older and now she's in school, that people will not give you the same benefit that they will give to other people because of the color of your skin. So, and that's a really hard thing. So I appreciated that she had this talk, that she did it on camera. I actually think, in contrast to some of the things that was being said on the last couple of episodes, this was something that you really need to show, because it's hard for parents to to do this and to talk about this. And it kind of bolsters, you know, your resolve to do this when you see people on TV, you know, giving you the kind of the script that you can use with your kids. So I want to say kudos to them for showing that. And it was a great conversation.
Definitely. Now, to pivot a little bit off of Wendy.
Wait, hold on. Before we pivot, I just want to say her kids' names, like Cameron Cruz and...
I don't know the other one.
Cameron Cruz and it's another K. Cameron Cruz and Kris Kringle. I don't know. But they all like K names. Oh, and it's another one that she shares with the other housewife. They both Carter. That's what it is.
Carter.
Cameron Cruz and Carter. And they all have K's. And I'm like, really? What are you saving the K for? Because her Eddie don't start with a K. Wendy don't start with a K. And all these names could have started with a C. It's kind of weird that they don't start with a C. So I just want to pull back on that. And I was like, I just don't understand. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe everybody else think Cameron, Carter, and Cruz supposed to have a K in it. Maybe it's just me.
It might just be you, girl. It might be you.
Cruz start with a K for you?
I mean, sometimes when I think of...
Of what?
I had someone in like fourth grade, their last name was Cruz, and it was with a K.
And Cameron?
I mean, listen.
Carter, you should start with a K?
Listen, Barbara named
all her kids. I'm just pointing it out. Look, my name got an apostrophe in it, so I can't talk, but I'm just pointing it out.
Well... Okay, girl, let me get back to the serious question I wanted to ask you, because why are you worried about the K's?
And I'm just saying, KKK.
Oh, no, girl, no. Not the KKK.
I just thought it was really interesting. That just came to me while we were watching. Okay, keep it moving. And next, keeping the menu rolling, right? Is that how you say it?
So, my question to you is, because I'd like, you know, we kind of just got off the subject of you talking to your children about this. Do you, as a black woman raising biracial children, do you feel like when you have those conversations with your children, do you feel like you're robbing them of their innocence? Like, you know what, like Wendy was saying, like, do you have that reservation or do you feel
No, I think I'm preparing them for the real world. Because I don't feel like I'm robbing them of their innocence. I feel like if I send them out into the real world, that's robbing them of their innocence. So I'm preparing you for the real world, because you ain't about to get caught like... You ain't about to take my children from the okie doke, because you're going to tell them something like, oh, Santa Claus. And they're going to be like, Santa Claus ain't real. My mama spend her money on my Christmas presents. I hit them with the truth. You got to be prepared. So.
Wait, so you told your kids Santa not real?
You're right. He ain't real.
You
ain't about to believe some fictional figure is squeezing his ass into this house some sort of way, and it's not your mama saving for these Christmas presents. You gonna know. I mean, I'm gonna tell you also the cultural references in the background of Christmas and Santa Claus, so you don't ruin it for the other kids. But nah, I'm not gonna let you believe that. We believe in science and hard facts.
Okay. All right. Okay.
No Easter bunny. No Tooth Fairy.
See, I mean, don't get me wrong. I feel like, yes, you should tell your children. Mind you, I don't have kids, so maybe my opinion don't matter. But when I do have kids, I feel like I want to allow them to, I don't know.
Well, you know what? You can feel free to lie to my kids about anything you'd like to.
Okay. All right.
I'm not going to be like, not going to allow you to tell them stories. I'm just going to tell them the truth.
Okay. And you know your daughter lives for an Uncle Bryce story.
She loves it.
So, back to the housewives. I think that was really it, except the goddess. So, the goddess lunch, breakfast, dinner that Mia had, I really did think all the ladies' fashions was great. And Mia very preemptively was like, all right, I want everybody to go around the table and say something nice about everybody.
So, it was, okay, they had to say something nice about everybody. I was wondering, okay. And I thought she had maybe said about the person to your right and then strategically place people. Okay. Well, I thought that was really nice. I thought the great thing that came out of the goddess brunch lunch soiree was that we had a little bit of a breakthrough, right?
We did have a meeting, a peace meeting between Wendy and Giselle and Karen and Giselle. However, I feel like...
Uh-oh.
You know, I felt like...
Go ahead and say something silly.
I felt like, you know, Giselle really kind of like laid out the outline for Wendy. And I really feel like, you know, Wendy's like, well, if you were my real friend, you would have told this to me. And Giselle was like, well, girl, I didn't get an opportunity to tell it to you. And when, you know, it was brought up to you, you flipped out. And I, in retrospect, and again, mind you, you know, everybody gonna say I'm always team Giselle, which I'm not always. I don't always side with her. Okay. I really do feel like Wendy is just using this for a moment. I don't know. It just was just like, you know, and her like Robin was like, you know, Wendy, you know, I love your, you know, dedication to your family, and I'm gonna just keep it short because, you know, I ain't really messing with you. And then, of course, in Wendy's confessional, she's like, oh, you care about my dedication to my family when your best friend is coming from a girl. Yeah, girl, the blogs wrote the story. It was already circulating. But
so my thing about Wendy is, yes, I do, like, either she is super dramatic, which could be it, cause so am I, or like she's trying to milk it. I don't know. I think it's like a combination. But girl, you are on the show where people gonna talk about you, so get over it, okay? Yes, you just need to get over it and keep it moving. And yeah, so I thought, though, one of the most poignant moments to come out of the whole discussion was Giselle actually admitting to some feelings and opening up and letting us in. I thought that was actually really fantastic and an A-plus Giselle moment, which honestly, I don't think we have many of.
Okay. Yeah. And, you know, I also thought it was interesting that Giselle admitted to the binder in which Monique possessed at the reunion. She said that she knew about it. And which what I always say about Giselle makes me like her even more. Like, you know, Giselle, even in her confessional, she was like, you know, when they were bringing that up at the reunion, she's like, I'm not going to dignify them and like feed into what they want. Like, I'm going to ignore them and whatever. And that's what Giselle does in all of the arguments. And so, like I said before, I really do think that she should snap back a little bit more. But that is a talent when people are attacking you for you to be like, okay. I mean,
I just shut down. It's the turtle in the shell approach.
I wouldn't be able to do
the
it.
The hedgehog roll up into a ball.
I wouldn't be able to do it. So is she saying so? But again, I don't know.
Well, and when you're dead within, it's kind of easy to just, you know, curl up in and go to your dead place, your dead zone inside.
And then, you know, she's like, you know, well, how did you know? Like, and she's like, Jamal told me. And I was just like, ugh, Giselle, I don't know. It kind of gives me like lying. Like, of course, now a year later, it's easy for you to be like, well, I knew. Because in the moment, it didn't really look like you knew. But I mean, if you going to say that, girl, this was a strategic approach.
Look, I'm going to give her whatever. She ain't got much. So whatever, girl, if that's what you want to stand and hang your hook on. I just appreciate the vulnerability that you can say that this hurt, and I thought they really actually came to the table and just thought about it. I think what really brought them there is, you know, when everybody brought up the families. So
yeah,
and the kids,
and, right? And so Karen gave an apology, Giselle gave an apology, but child, just how shady Bravo is. We didn't see time and time and time from season to season to season how many times Karen and Giselle apologize to each other. But it is good to see the ladies on a, you know, fresh start. So on to this new episode, I think that, you know, there's not a lot, but a lot happening. First of all, I guess, you know, congratulations are in order to Giselle's daughter. She finally got her permit.
Yes!
But child, the girl can't drive. She can't drive.
So wait, can I just tell you that she was only going for her permit? So all she had to do was take the test. But I am so glad. Like, even her sisters were sad for you. And you know it's deep when your sisters, like, who love to tease you all the time, are sad for you. But I am so happy. And that episode of her taking that girl driving in the parking lot was pure comedy, okay?
But did you catch the Bravo shade? Because they were driving like because all of the seasons up until last season, Giselle was driving like a little buggy. Then last season, she had like another little buggy. And then now this season, she has a Range Rover. But, you know, in the confessional, Giselle is like, you know, I bought this car for her, so hopefully she'll be able to drive it, you know, because I paid for it. And then Bravo flashback to last year where she was like, Jamal left this at my house, and so I'm keeping it. I was like, ooh, child. I'm like, let me find out Giselle be lying and thinking we gonna be forgetting. Like, no, Bravo, the Bravo archives, right, the Bravo archives never forget.
Yes. So I thought that was hilarious. But yay to Grace, right?
Yes, yes. Yay to Grace. And girl, you know, she needs to pump the brakes, okay? Listen.
Literally. Because she's about to run people over. Okay. I just thought that was hilarious. You're going to get it, girl, though. It's going to be all right.
It's going to be all right. And then I think last episode, we got to see Robin going to see a life coach, which I thought was great. You know, the life coach really kind of sort of outlined some things with her, like she needs to get in order. And, you know, some things I think Robin highlighted, which I thought was interesting, was that, you know, Robin feels as though, you know, season one, season two, and season three, when Juan really didn't have his together, you know, Robin was really supporting him. And now that Juan is, like, you know, a head coach at HBCU, and, you know, Robin is by all means successful. And, like, you know, Robin 100% contributes to their household. But, you know, she finds herself in this, like, you know, COVID funk, and she doesn't really feel like she's getting the support from Juan that she would like.
So the thing about Robin is she has a kind of career that, you know, is very fits and starts, right? She's flipping houses, and so money comes in chunks. So she doesn't have that steady career, you know, like income and stuff like that. So it can be kind of hard. I am glad to see that she's getting it together, that she realizes, you know, first step is admitting you have a problem. So I hope that Juan, you know, supports her, because, I mean, he was looking real loserish in the first season. You know, that could be editing. Who knows? But they painted him to be in as not successful. So I just hope they hold each other down and he supports her.
Yeah. And I mean, not for nothing, Robin said that when, like, you know, the amount of orders that she gets in, she can be racking up to about $60,000 a month. That's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money. All right. Go, girl, with them hats. I know I got me my embellished, and, okay, and they're cute, and what a great idea. So I just think that she, you know, again, it starts and fits. You never know how much you're going to get in. So sometimes I think it doesn't seem like she, you know, is writing the things down in the spreadsheet. Like, shout out to Wendy and her candles.
Yes. And then we get to the LaDom candle line, in which she is working Candlegate. Okay. And Karen is very, you know, always, I'm in the discovery, I'm in the packaging, I'm in, you know, all of this. And I feel like, you know, they're always cheering Karen up to being this big sister, showing love to the girls. But I always feel like, you know, she's constantly taking digs at Wendy's candles. This is a three-wick candle. It's for a larger
room. She was just highlighting the difference in the candles. A one-wick candle is for, like, a smaller room. Like,
that's a lot of.
A three-wick, listen, Bryce, a three-wick candle is for a larger area, okay?
Girl, that's Shay if I ever see Shay in my life. Okay.
Look, everybody got their business. You can compete. There's nothing wrong with that. You don't have to tell people what you're doing. Sometimes it's better if you don't. But yeah, it was a tinch shady. But you know what? I'll tell you, she had her business plan. She had her price points. She was on the phone with that lady, you know, working the things out. So I think that actually, Wendy should take lessons for her. Hell, she should be like, can I sell a one-wick candle with your three-wick?
Okay.
Can it be by LaDom by Wendy so I can see what you're doing?
Because then they panned over to Wendy and her business model with her husband, which sound more like a thesis statement that didn't really make sense. And then she don't have a budget. Then she don't, it's just really weird, because it's like, I don't know. Like, I honestly feel like she was going to go in. I really feel like she's like, ooh, Robin is cashing in on these hats. I'm about to do something different. I'm going to work on these candles because that'd be great for my storyline. And then I think, like, the Eddie Gate broke. And I really feel like she has put more of her energy into Eddie Gate than these candles, because it's just like,
well, she needs to figure out what she's going to do and go for it. I think she could, but, like, she just needs to hire, like, she needs to be like, Eddie, okay, do it for me then, like.
Right. But I also feel like, you know how we're very critical on like rollouts when you have these type of platforms, you know, you need to roll it out. And I feel like, you know, the grand dame, you know, for La Dame, she took us on a 2-season series of her getting La Dame together. And she's always passionate about it. Even Candace with singing, you know, even Giselle, when she had her beauty line, Bryant or whatever her name, her thing was, like, we go on these journeys. For me, it's like with Wendy, you don't even, like, when her husband was asking them, like, why should people buy this candle? Like, whatever. She's like, I don't know. Like, as consumers,
she really needs to, like, think,
like,
about,
right. Like, why would I want to buy a candle from you? Like, if you don't even know, like, you're literally just putting a candle out to put a candle out. Like, girl, like, this ain't helping.
What like, so is, like, stuff that helps you get your life together. Like, business bags for ladies.
Child, no, what she just need to do is just promote her plastic surgeon, okay? Like, just be an influencer for your plastic surgeon.
I mean, she could sell, like, girdles. Like, here is a suit you can wear to, like, work that makes your booty look cutie. No? Okay, we'll work on that one.
Yeah, I don't know. But I'm just saying, like, for me, it's just like, girl, you don't know anything about anything, so why would I want to spend my money on your candle?
Okay, so... Like, you, I mean, yeah, she needs to tie it in somehow to her life.
Right.
Fits in. Because, like, okay, you always smell good. So, yeah, you want to smell perfume. You're always talking about scents and how they make you feel and yes, imagery and stuff like that. Me, you know, I don't know what I would sell. That's why I'm not selling anything. I mean, I'm selling bright futures to the women, you know, in STEM and how you can be in that and that, you know, showing them how they can do it. That's my thing. She needs to figure out, like, what her thing is.
Right. It's the pivot.
I can see,
like,
her selling weave, eyelash.
But look,
that would be, she, I guess, just encroaching on La Dame, so that would not really be nice.
Yeah, because Wendy just got her wigs together. This is the first season that her wigs are together, because last year they looked like they were a party hat. But, you know.
But so did the Grand Dame the first season.
No, but that first two. And then, you know, she started coming out with the wigs on Thursday. Like, you know, it's an evolution. You know, there's a rollout to this. Like, so I'm just trying to think, like, and, like, I don't necessarily, I feel like, you know, with them being like, oh, Wendy got this new body, who are you? I feel like the candle story is another extension of it. Like, girl, who are you? This makes no sense.
No sense.
So, but again, I want to down her, but again, I ain't going to buy a candle because, like, you know, listen, I buy a candle from Mia before I buy a candle from you. Listen, and it ain't really much going on with Mia. So let's get into the meat and potatoes of this week's Housewife. And baby, when I tell you it delivered, okay, it was delivered in a package that comes in the form of Lil Dotty. Okay,
they opened the episode with Dot, and they closed her.
Okay,
the episode with Dot, and she, you're right, she did not disappoint.
She
not
did not
least.
Disappoint. Now, mind you, now let me just say this to the people, okay? There were some clarifications on this episode that, you know, I don't know if you guys remember early on, you know, when Candace was so proud to show this house that her and Chris bought for themselves. Okay.
And Dot bust them open. Okay.
So then, you know, Candace had a slumber party at the townhouse that they allegedly sold. But at the time of the at the time of the slumber party, the house was fully furnished, which I just was confused about that. Then when she is taking us on a tour of this new home, nothing in the home is finished. The only room that is immaculately finished.
It's
Dottie's room. And Candace shares with us that, well, one, let's just go back to when we first met Candace and, like, you know, some of the reasons in which that she was saying she wanted to get her own home was because she wanted to create more healthier boundaries with her mom, and the fact that her mom owns the house that she, and her mom feels very much entitled to it. Now, allegedly, Candace is telling us that her and Chris bought this home on their own. However, you know, in this episode, she tells us that Dottie, Lil Dot, she not only visits the same, she probably visits more. So, okay. All right. So I just want the listeners to store that in the back of their head. Now, We talk about a rollout. You know, Candace has figured out from last season how to roll out this music video. She is an unsigned artist, and she is, you know, wants to put out a debut album, independent, shoot these videos to get the attention of a record label. Now, you know, I am a recording artist that has charted before. I've shot music videos. I've performed all around the world. So I know a thing or two about a budget, and you know, I can respect that about Miss Candace. So it's the rollout. Now, again, I feel like Candace has rolled out both of her videos. Both of her singles are currently out right now. The single Drive Back came out, you know, before the season started. And at first I was saying, like, yes, this is a great, you know, segue, like, you know. But the more and more I'm watching the season, I really am feeling like I don't think the rollout was that great. I actually think the video should have dropped today or this week when we're shooting the actual video on the TV, on Housewives. It just makes more sense. But anyway, that's fine. So we also know, I'm just giving y'all all of these things that, like, got tied together in a very short and very quick scene.
Yes, and then let's talk about how Dottie and Mia was throwing.
Well, no. I don't want to give them that yet. So I also want to bring in the fact that allegedly they said Chris sold the restaurant. Okay,
they said he was cooking for my
Let me set it up, Jessica. Okay? The start of the season, Chris said he sold the restaurant. Okay? Then, you know, every time Donnie called, Chris was drinking in the middle of the day. Okay? Giselle at dinner said it's Chris riding the coattails. Okay? Then she said Chris was the manager. And you and I talked about, I'm like, well, is he, like, you know, managing you? Like, and normally if managers, you know, manage you, they get a percentage. All of these things were unanswered. And we saw during a fight that they had one time, Chris was like, you know, well, you get somebody to do what I'm doing for free, and then stormed out of their dinner and Candace had to pay. Okay? So, all right. So now y'all got all of those lingering things. Okay. All of the things that we just been kind of sort of speculating here on the Purple Pants podcast, if you've been listening. So, this episode is they shoot the video. Okay? Chris can't make the video because he's got to cook. He said he had to, like, do something. Like, he made it seem last episode that he had, like, he had a catering gig, okay? That's one. So he could not be on the actual shoot. So, yeah, I mean, I feel like I've been talking a lot. So, you know, we get to the photo. I keep saying the photo shoot. We get to the video shoot, and the ladies arrive in, and I'll let you spill some of the tea now, Jatia.
Okay, thank you. Jeez, now that I'm allowed.
Don't do that.
Now we get to the video shoot. The girls roll up, except for Ashley, because casting was closed.
Ooh.
And, you know,
it wasn't open for wide bodies.
Her body was too wide, right? Her body was too wide to get it up in the video. So everybody come, here comes Dot. Honey, she ready. She like, try that.
Okay.
And so then they're like, okay, so they're there before Candace. So, but that's all right, because Candace was filming at the garage. So, you know, when you're
Don't do that.
You're the talent. No. You show up when you're ready, right? So she had
But it wasn't like a garage.
Look. Go ahead. I'm not trying to throw shade, okay, Giselle?
No. Okay. You know, you're giving very much Karen. You're giving.
So we come, the girls are there, Candace arrives, everything's there except two things: the cars and Chris. So both of them are missing.
Chris wasn't supposed to be there. We know this. But see, Jatia is missing out.
Wait. It's my turn.
Okay.
So you gotta tell it right. Okay, so now,
because the best part,
a great job of calling an audible and asking the girls to drive back their cars. You know, asking them, hey, what kind of car you got? Camry, no, to the left. And then, what do you have? A Range Rover. Okay, park that here. So I thought that was a great audible. And then here comes Dot. She, you know, about to start twerking in the background or whatever. And Mia, so shadily, trying to bond with Dot. You know, Dot's favorite thing is throwing slang and poo. She says, well, yeah, well, where are the cars and where is Chris? Calling out the missing element.
Okay.
And here come Wendy slinking in the background. She's ghost slinking, telling Candace.
And no,
in the
so
middle
no.
of her video is going to tell Candace some BS when
right.
Candace trying to focus on her moves, which was shady. She could have brought that back later. She could have rolled that back on later.
Yes, so then, yes, yeah. Now, girl, out of sequence. You are out of sequence, okay? Because, listen, you got to set it up right for the listeners. Dot arrived. It was Wendy and Mia. And Mia is just kikiing with Dot. And they like, well, where are the cars? And Dot was like, I don't know. And they're like, well, where's Chris? Now, mind you, we said that Chris said that he had a catering job. Child, Lil Dot said, well, when I left the house, he was home cooking. Cooking.
So I can just say that catering, you can cater from your home. So there's no problem with that just because he doesn't have the restaurant, which doesn't make sense in COVID for you to be paying rent on a restaurant that nobody's coming to when you could cook just as easily out of your gourmet kitchen that Dot is paying for.
Okay, but here's the tea, though. You could cook the night before. You could cook the more, like, you know what I mean? Like, you're not
priority. Not all dishes. Look, you don't know.
No.
And not only that, but you have to package it up. People want to eat hot.
No. I'm not buying that. I'm going to tell you why I'm not buying that. Okay. After I drop this other tea. So after Dot said that, okay, then Karen arrived and Karen and Dot kikiing. And, you know, Karen's like, you know, how's everything? And, you know, Dot's just like, you know, Chris, I just, you know, I love him. But, you know, I didn't think, you know, he should quit his job. And then Karen and Mia was like, well, quit his job. Okay, at the restaurant. Okay. So now Karen was like, well, I thought it closed. And Dot was like, I mean, closed, quit the job, not working. I don't think, you know, when you just get married, you should be quitting a job. I think that you should be, you know,
she messy as hell.
Stepping up. Okay. Ooh, one tea spill. So then, okay, now listen, I don't condone it, but listen, Mia was getting us all the tea. So then Mia leaned in and said, well, listen, is he getting paid for being a manager? And at that moment, Wendy and Escala walked away, and Dot basically was like, well, I don't know. So then Mia and Escala, or Wendy and Escala, go over to Gisella Robin, and they're like, oh my God, your friend is being messy. And Gisella's like, well, what's happening? They're like, Mia is over there asking if Chris is on the payroll. And child, Giselle says, well, is he? I'd like to know. Okay.
Which is her second best line of the whole.
Okay.
Because, I mean, really? So it comes down to it. Everybody being messy. Everybody getting in her business. They should not have been doing this.
They should not. But first of all, Dot was handing that tea out. Like,
yes, she was.
Like, this
yes,
was.
She was. Like, why would you do that?
Yes.
Don't do that.
Girl, she was handing this tea out like we was at a movie and she was popping the popcorn. But listen, it gets better. So first of all, shady behind Wendy goes in the middle of Candace's photo shoot, video shoot, and tells her that Wendy is over there asking her mom impersonal questions. Now, okay, girl, you want to be a good girlfriend, but like, now isn't the time to mess her energy up, okay?
Really?
So we then see there's a scene where Dot and Karen are together, and she's just spilling more tea about, like, you know, how just unhappy she is with Chris and, like, how he's not doing anything. So then she's with Robin.
She put them all up, child.
Okay, and then this was the biggest shocker, was Robin was like, you know, well, so Chris isn't working, and then Dot was like, girl, and then Robin says, well, that's a big house for him not to be working.
And Dot
basically says, it sure is, and in that insinuation, You know, anytime
the look,
she gave the look of a black mother. If like, like hard to explain, but she gave.
Let me explain it.
Go ahead, explain it. Explain
that
the black
look was the look. Said,
the sure is the sure and the sure is.
I interpreted the look because I speak black mother. The look said, "Yeah, that's a big damn house, and I'm tired of paying for it. And I wish they would get their thing together so they could get out my pocket, even though they bought this more expensive house. Told me not to put the deed on the name." But I'm paying all the bills. How you like that? That's what the book said.
Because she changed the subject so quick. It was just like, now, also, because the cars weren't there, they were calling Chris, he wasn't picking up. This is how and why I said that, okay, you're catering from home, you cook from home. Like, obviously, you're not delivering the food right now. Or, like, you know, you could have cooked some of it in the morning, because then Chris shows up because the cars aren't there and he's ready to, like, wring havoc. But my thing is like
havoc, but yeah, I got you.
Girl, you know what I meant. My thing is like, how is it that you could show up now? Is it you didn't left something on the stove?
He said he was coming when he was finished.
I mean, I just don't know.
I see, the way I look at it is like, I'm glad he came. And I also am very glad that he had the presence of mind not to just storm over there and leak his nasty negative energy onto the shoe. You know, so, but this is, I mean, ultimately, to me, I don't care if Dot paying for the house. Dot, why are you paying for the house? Like, look, Dot, clearly you got it like that and you trying to brag, you know, but like, Dot, help your daughter out and shut the heck up. Like, that's just messy. Like, Dot wants the credit. I get that. She needs attention. That's why she twerking in the background, you know, support/attention. But like, I just feel like Dot, she probably didn't mean to, but she.
No, she did. No, she did. No, all right, girl, Dot came to be messy. Like,
Dot was like, she's like, look, I got a two episode arc, okay? And I'm about to arc, okay?
And her thing is, and first of all, this is another thing. The confidence in which that Lil Dot, okay, that's her rat name. The confidence in which she, first of all, the confidence in which that she came mic'd up, okay, like, so just so we're clear, like, you know what I mean, it's not like, because here's also the thing, okay, this type of drama, child, normally happens at a lot of black functions, okay, so it ain't a Thanksgiving, it ain't a Christmas that somebody just be like, look at cousin Sharita, who she thinks she is driving that BMW and you know it's Lee's and her mom name, or look at cousin Bill, he think he's so big bad in that new house and you know I'm Barbara Cosine, you know, like, these are very much so typical things that like happen at a lot of black household functions. You know, the tea is correct. Being spilled. But here is my thing for Dottie, is that, girl, you're mic'd up. You know you're recording the housewives of, like, you know what I mean? It's not like you're just in the background, not mic'd up, just talking to the girl. Like, bitch, there's a camera in your face. And for me, it's the level of comfortability that Dot came on this set today and was spilling the tea to all of these girls. And this is how I know she paying for the house. Because under any other circumstance, Candace will cut her off and never speak to her again. But she knows that.
Want to get hit with a purse?
Well, I mean, but she just, like, you know, the fact that she knows that, and mind you, Candace said that the video shoot cost $10,000. I question who paid for the video the way she, and mind you, Doc got dropped off in the car. They wondering where the car's at, and Doc getting dropped off in a car.
So I'll tell you, I mean, like, look. Let's be honest. Like, I mean, she gets paid from Real Housewives.
I mean, yes. So they all do. And again, that is where everyone is saying, i.e. they saying Giselle is hating when Giselle said, is he riding your coattails? Then Dot dropped the dime that he quit his job off of this, like, you know, I don't know, $100,000 that they get. Like, listen.
Okay, well, first of all, I hope she's getting more than $100,000.
I don't think so. No, not each episode for the season,
I mean,
girl.
Girl,
this ain't, I mean, listen, I mean, who knows? I don't know what Candace is getting, but I mean, we know at the height of NeNe, she was getting $1 million an episode, and I don't think that Candace holds a candle to NeNe. And I also know that in the back of the day, like, you know, Marlo and them, like, so again, I don't know how much they making, but I just know that it's
Well, she's been on, first of all, she's been drugged in front of the camera. So I hope she's at least up to 200,000. That's what I'm saying. So I just say that.
Okay. But we also know that this, in this is where the Candace and Mia feud is sparked. Now, I also feel like Mia was being messy, but I also feel like, I mean,
well, we know, first of all, we know she's messy. Like, come on. She's messy. She's on a messy show. She can't even properly relay a message. She's gonna mess it up. We are, like, that is clear.
I'm just saying, depending on, see, I be getting myself, I get myself in trouble because I'm really cool with my best friend's mom, and I be getting into trouble like how Mia be getting in trouble. And I'm going to just say that. I don't want to go into too many details. But I'm really cool with my best friend's mom, like, to the point where, like, my best friend's mom is, like, almost like my girlfriend. And we be kikiing with each other. And, all I'm saying is there may have been a time or two.
Uh-huh. That you done backed yourself up into a corner.
Dad, I've been a Mia, and I had a little dot, okay? So, again, I don't necessarily, I don't know. But for me, this episode was very clear on why.
Well, this is the thing. First of all, Mia, we see that they're going to get into
chosen over Escala.
Correct.
Although Escala's fashion.
Oh, girl, that's exactly what I was about to go back to. I was like, she was looking so cute at the goddess. Like, I was like, come on.
Escala comes through with the fashions.
Yes. And she was super cute at the video shoot, too.
She was. And I wonder if the... Also, two reasons I wonder why Escala wasn't picked. Because it does question, because I really feel like Escala is cute. She's assertive. She speaks her mind. I oftentimes feel like Escala and Wendy are almost the same archetype. And I feel like that's why they chose Mia over Escala.
I think that Escala she didn't come with kids. So, and we know Bravo loves the mommy, and she didn't come with a husband. So
she has a husband?
We wouldn't know. So, no, I'm just saying, I'm sure she does.
Okay, Karen.
Shut up. But, you know, they like that package that they can package in there so that they can tap into other things and stuff like that. So she didn't come with that. I don't know what she does for a business, but clearly Mia's business had a little bit more interest. So, and I'm sure, though, Escala was just as messy and we didn't see it because she seems like she does not shy away from the messiness, but like, well, Mia had a lot. She got an old sugar daddy husband. She got, you know, little kids. She got a business, fake titties, fake this, fake that she always want to talk about, and she was a stripper. I mean, like, that's like the damn...
She wasn't a stripper. She was a high class entertainer, and she wore gowns.
She should have been a stripper. She probably would have made more money. But whatevs. But, like, that's kind of like the trifecta of messiness that Bravo likes. So, I think they're setting it up. Clearly, it's going to be on. It'll be interesting to see how Mia deals with an argument. Because we see how Candace deals with the argument, and also it's like Candace needs somebody new to fight with.
True. And I also can see, like I said, in the recent press run that Bravo did, I was like telling you guys how it seemed like, you know, Karen kept throwing like a lot of shade at Giselle, which, okay. But I also was like, well, you know, so is Candace. And through tonight's episode, I could probably see why Candace is throwing a shade at Giselle, because Giselle is hella shady. Like, Giselle, like, you know, said, like, while they all shoot the video, Giselle gonna turn the dot and was like, you know, I told Candace that he shouldn't be riding the coattails, and she told me you said the same thing too. I'm like, Giselle.
She doesn't shy away from that kind of stuff, so
that's something I will probably do too now.
Because you shady, just like her. You shady AF.
I am not shady. And next week looks even more amazing.
I am so excited for next week. There's
the
a
way
lot
they
of
shade Giselle's house, Hotel Giselle.
Oh my God, with the little balloons. Like, never have we seen such a disgusting ridiculous housewife event since She by Sheree and her fashions.
Oh, spring, September, fall.
Yes.
And you know, word on the block is allegedly Sheree is back as a full-time housewife. But here's the tea. It's not enough to bring me back.
I just saw this. She was talking about her plastic surgery. She got some fillers and it looked amazing.
Who, Sheree?
Mm-hmm. Sheree? On her jawline, yeah.
Okay. And then you know, since the passing of Greg Leakes, NeNe has been, really going full circle and the Lanithia Lounge. And I think like last night, which would have been Saturday, Cynthia Bailey was there, Marlo Hampton and Lamar Odom, just some random tea. But also, before we wrap this one up, Mia and Candace have been exchanging Twitter fights all the day. And
I'm not here for the Twitter fights. Is it interesting?
Yes. Hold on, wait. So listen, so Mia tweeted, Robin Dixon is not nasty. She's real now. At the real Candace, on the other hand, I'm good. Is Chris getting paid? Nah. Miss Dorothy confirmed it. Hashtag unemployed. So then Candace retweets it and says, now I have specifically made it a point to ignore your handsome ass all season. You claim I'm irrelevant, but can't seem to keep my name out of your mouth. Don't pull that victim/bully bush when I light your ass up again. Keep my husband's name out of your mouth. Okay? So then, Mia replied, you'd be mad if you found out your husband was tossing my salad in the kitchen.
Ooh.
So then, okay, enters Chris Bassett 33 on Twitter. He chimes in. He says,
I hate it when the husbands get involved. Stop.
He didn't add or anything. He just tweeted it. And yes, we know. We listen. Okay, Simone from Married to Medicine, stop talking to Dr. Heavenly when Dr. Heavenly came for Simone's husband from the Twitter. But anyway, C. Bassett 33 on Twitter says, since I'm so intrigued this morning and on everyone's mind and tweets, not really my type. I prefer a natural, dark chocolate type of woman. Ooh.
I'm not even here for that. Okay, sure, whatever. Whatevs.
Child, it was the hashtag unemployed for me.
Look, there's nothing wrong with being hashtag unemployed. Okay. Nothing wrong with being hashtag unemployed. But, you know, another chock full episode, chock full of little tidbits and points.
Lastly, before we go.
Lastly.
I just wonder, like, what the conversation between Dorothy and Candace is after watching this.
Oh, honey, it was full on. You know, like, they were yelling at each other. And that's the other part I don't like about it. Like, I don't like to see relationships strain because of stuff on TV.
And let's not forget that Dorothy is a psychologist.
So she knows exactly. I mean, you a psychologist don't mean you know.
I mean, I'm just saying.
Okay, yeah, she knows. She can understand her behavior, you know, if she looks at it. But I mean, it's kind of hard, like in the moment. But yeah, stop it.
No, it's Dr. Dot for me. And listen, she's everything I need. Okay, she's everything I needed for her to be this episode. Oh, and then the last thing.
The last thing.
Okay, why Bravo is so shady. So we know Karen Huger is the ambassador of Surry County, Virginia.
Stop. stop it.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, three by way of Potomac.
Okay, by way of Potomac. And you know, her job is to get more people internationally and domestically to travel the story. So Karen's first order of business, she wanted to create a, you know, video, you know, welcoming the tourists about the great Surrey County, Bay Bay, and she shot the video in Potomac.
Well, I would just say that that's just like close-ups, you know, so I'm not even, whatever.
But
I'm not
No, I mean, I feel like it's important to film in there. Also, just for the art integrity of it. And also, like, if you come to film, that also brings a level of, oh my God, you know, Karen was filming here today. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, girl.
Okay.
That, oh, oh, you gonna stand by your granddam. Okay. Oh, it's just a close up shot. It's just a close up shot.
I know the background of the issues and I choose not to engage.
Well, listen, Dottie told me she was too lazy, okay? That's what Dottie told me.
I'm choosing not to engage because I knew that information.
Oh, okay. Oh, Giselle!
So I just want to say that.
Well, it's, you know what, girl, you're
and
getting
sometimes
very.
Sometimes it's braver not to engage than it is to just drag you, okay? And so I'm just going to take the high road.
That's fine, girl, because you're more of a one wick type of girl. I'm a three wick type of bitch.
Well, I don't need one wick to get the job done.
Okay,
so, you know.
That's fine. You and your powder room, we service large rooms with this three wick, okay? And on that note, I'm about to go light my three wick candles. Gotta go.
Wait.
What?
What's coming up this week? Anything cool coming up this week?
I don't know. You tell me.
Well, so I am going to this really cool thing. I didn't know if you were going. I didn't know if you were invited because it's only for the cool kids.
Oh.
So I'm actually going to this really cool event because you know what comes out this week.
Ooh, what? Karen's La Dame candle?
No, well, that's already come out, I believe. But Survivor premieres this week.
Yeah.
And I am going to a super cool premiere party. I'll see if I can get you an invite, Bryce. These two awesome men are throwing it. Wynn and Bryce present, and it's in New York. Do you know about it? Have you heard about it? I'm not sure.
I tried to get tickets, but they were all sold out.
Oh my goodness. Well, maybe you can go to the next one or you can hear about it. I'll try to take some pictures if they let me take some pictures. In the bar, I'll take it and send it to you so you can experience it. But yeah, these two guys, they're former Survivor players with me. I'm sorry you didn't get invited, but there will be a whole bunch of Survivors there, and we're going to have a watch party for the new season of Survivor. And I'll see if I can do an audio recording or something or give you a shout out there. But I'm sorry that you can't make it, and it's already sold out.
Yes.
Well, but you can also find out more about it on Wendell Holland's. And this guy, his name is Bryce Isaiah. You probably don't know him, though. On both of their Instagrams for more information.
Yes. And if not, we will see you this Wednesday. So excited for Bryce and Wynn Presents. That's right. Jatia will be in the building. Yes. So we will be to have a great, fun, safe time. So, yes. Well, listen, girl, let's hurry up and get packed. And guess what? I'm going to see you tomorrow at the Bryce and Wynn Presents.
Yes. Thanks for having me. See you later, Purple Pants Posse. See you later, Bryce.
Who's the freak? Who's the freak? Who's the freak of the week? Who's that? Who's that? Who's that freaky, freaky, freak? Who's the freak of the week? Might be me, might be you, might be.
And we are on to this week's Freak of the Week. And listen, so let me give you the background story on this week's Freak of the Week. Okay, so last week, the verses, you know, the verses that they've been doing online, they did Brandy and Monica, they did Bow Wow and the Soulja Boy. They've been doing it all over the place. And last week, they did Ja Rule versus Fat Joe. Now, at first, when I heard it, I'm like, I don't know if I really want to tune into that, because honestly, I felt like I knew Ja Rule would mop the floor with Fat Joe, just because Ja Rule was the Drake before there was a Drake. And so, you know, I listen. I'm real. Okay, listen. Okay. Always there when you call. Always on time. Listen, Ja Rule got the hits. Okay. But I ended up watching a little bit of it, and then I caught like the replay. And for me, it's really about catching all of the like stuff that you miss. So anytime a versus happens, all of the blog sites kind of post the best moments. And so I live for that. And, you know, Ashanti has songs with both Fat Joe and Ja Rule, and she's super close with them. And, you know, Ashanti, you know, Unfoolish, you know, baby, 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 baby. Oh, baby, can you rock with me? Can you take her to the top with me? Listen, I never knew how much of an Ashanti fan I was, but I would say over the past 3 years, I've probably seen Ashanti live 3 times. And at every one of her concerts, I'm like, oh, my God, I know this song. I know that song. I know I got all of Ashanti's albums. I like, you know, I'm practically an Ashanti stan. So back 6 years ago, Ashanti was in a highly publicized relationship with Nelly. You know, Nelly got a song with Kelly Rowland, Dilemma. Oh, and I love you. Oh, okay. You know that song. You know that Nelly country grandma. Gonna go down, down, baby. Straight in. Okay. Yeah. Y'all know Nelly. So Nelly and Ashanti were in a relationship. They were actually a really cute couple. They broke up 6 years ago. Ashanti alleges in some of her songs he cheated, broke her heart. She never was really able to recover for a really long time. Anyway, fast forward to now. Ashanti, if any of you follow her on the Instagram, Ashanti is in her 40s, and baby, her body is all natural. Okay, she putting some of these 20-year-olds to shame. She looks amazing. Okay, if you don't know, go to Ashanti page and just look at her. Like, Ashanti is looking amazing. First of all, Ashanti, we're going to need some new music. So, you know, put it out. But anyway, and so Ashanti is this week's Freak of the Week because at the Verses, while Ja Rule and Fat Joe, while Ja Rule and Fat Joe were performing, Nelly had performed a song with them, and he was on the other side of the stage. Ashanti was on the stage looking good, just jamming. And baby, Nelly couldn't but help herself to walk across that stage and ask for a hug from Ashanti. And it's so funny because the first video footage that we saw from the Verses, we see him walk over, but we don't really see the hug. Okay, cameraman, you had one job. Then other video started coming out because they were in Madison Square Garden of the fans seeing the hug. And then there was some of like Nelly's friends. He was with like Remy Ma and Papoose. Papoose is Remy Ma's husband. And he talked to a friend. And literally we got the conversation of him before he went over to Ashanti. And he was like, should I go over there? I'm just walking across stage. So anyway, I just have made Ashanti Freak of the Week because I don't know if any of you guys ever been in a relationship that ended and or whatever, could have been a classmate, could have been a friend, whatever. And it's like, you want them to see you now. Like, you know, like, you messed up on this. You did me dirty. And like, you know, you ever just put on your freakum dress, or you ever are just feeling amazing and you're like, huh, I wish they could see me now. Well, baby, Ashanti got that real life moment on the Verses when she was up there performing multiple times, looking amazing, and her ex boo that did her wrong couldn't help but to just walk over there. And you know, one of them guys, can I get a hug? One of them guys, that's what he was. Okay. And listen, that just inspired me to be like, listen, Bryce, keep working out, keep doing your thing, because baby, one of your exes gonna see you or maybe even hear you and be like, ooh, Bryce is doing good, can I get a hug? But listen, I ain't gonna be as nice as Ashanti. I'ma keep turning and rocking to the music. But listen, this week's Freak of the Week is Ashanti, but listen, showing us how it's done, look good in the face of your exes. I am here for it. And if Ashanti is the freak of the week, that means, okay, and listen, because she is unfoolish, okay? See, my days are gone without you, but I'm hurt while I'm with you. And another one. Okay, listen, she unfoolish. And if Ashanti is the freak of the week, we are coming to an end of another amazing episode. Thank you so much, Purple Pants Posse, for listening, supporting me as you always do. If you have not already, please make sure you're subscribed to this podcast, Purple Pants Podcast. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, wherever it is that you get your podcasts from. You already know you can get it from my Uncle Pookie. He riding around Philly. You can get it out the back of his Cadillac. Write a review. Okay. Give your baby boy some 5 stars and tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend that Issa.
It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Woo. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public. Might make your stomach hurt. Woo. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind. You better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack. You better hurry right back, though. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants.